At the end of March, the State Division of Criminal Justice Services hosted its first Youth Justice Conference with a focus on elevating equity and fostering healing. For more on the event, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by DCJS Commissioner Rosanna Rosado. Welcome back to the show, Commissioner.
Thank you.
So what was the impetus for this gathering, which was scheduled to bring together more than 400 stakeholders in the youth justice space?
As you know, there have been three straight years of crisis, right? First the pandemic, and then kind of the high incidence of shootings, which we've been involved in helping to fund efforts both on the side of law enforcement and the community to bring those shootings down. And so this was the first time that we had kind of this moment to bring people in to talk about what's happening with youth and to kind of address the different needs beyond bringing the crime stats down, you know, beyond just reading data, like what could we do for youth? Because we do consider, based on everything we know, everything we've seen, that kids are in crisis. And so the staff came up with this elevating equity and a fostering healing in the youth system conference. And I mean, I guess proof that there is a need is the overwhelming response of people signing up and then showing up last week to this amazing 2 days of sharing and focusing. And we had so many young people come through and, you know, express how they want to be seen and what kind of help they need to find a different path, right, than crime, than and to avoid that first contact with law enforcement.
So the headline here is, quote unquote, elevating equity and fostering healing. And those are some wonderful buzzwords, but what do they mean to you? What's the focus of those adjectives and verbs for you?
Well, for me, and I think for people who attended the conference, you know, they're more than buzzwords. It's what we live. So we came from a period in our history where we recognize, right, there's empirical data, people have done research, there's a bunch of books that prove that there was a purposeful incarceration of Black and brown men for 40 years, and that destabilized communities, and that resulted in a period of time that we're experiencing now where youth feel either unseen or lost. I mean, the pandemic contributed to some of that as well. And so when we talk about equity, we're specifically talking about how we change the racial impact of criminal justice practices. And when we talk about fostering healing, we talk seriously, specifically about how we heal communities, how we repair the damage that was done, and we move forward. We incarcerated society. We decided that we wanted to be tough on crime. And so we wind up incarcerating generations of men, especially Black men. And then now their grandchildren and their sons are, according to law enforcement, running amok. And so how do we help them to find a different path? And how do we help to make communities whole? At DCJS, what we've done is to continue to fund, but, you know, kind of elevate the funding of the community efforts as well as law enforcement. And also, you know, kind of retraining law enforcement to help to focus on alternatives to arrest and incarceration when it comes to young people. But that really was, you know, kind of what the conference was about. Like, what are people doing in all the different communities throughout the state? And there were so many examples of programs that are using the arts or using vocational trainings, using faith-based organization, using all the means necessary to kind of fill in that gap that kids are feeling, whether the void is, you know, incarcerated parents or school systems that have failed, you know, have failed them.
So the different stakeholders that were part of this conference, two of them you just mentioned, community organizations and police officers, can sometimes be at odds with each other. So was that conflict part of the discussion at all during the conference? And if so, was there any discussion about how to reconcile the different missions and different focus of some of these entities and agencies to ensure that all of these stakeholders are marching to the same beat, so to speak?
Yes, absolutely. There was a lot of focus on best practices, and there are many success stories where police departments are doing, you know, great community work and are working to repair that relationship and change the relationship they have with the community. And we all want to leave home and come back at the end of the day. And there was a lot of sharing of the success stories, and there was a lot of sharing by the youth of of what they need, how they want to, you know, they always say they want to be seen by adults, but really what that means for those of us who don't understand the terminology, that they want to be heard. I mean, you know, I traveled the state last year to all of our jurisdictions where we have programs, SNUG and GIVE and the CACs, the Crime Analysis Centers. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's this one situation where the law enforcement said, you know, like four schools let out at the same time, and this downtown area is just overrun by a mob of kids. They're middle schoolers and high schoolers, and sometimes that could be scary for adults. But the truth is, they're just kids getting out of school. You know, we're funding after school programs and ways in which to, you know, occupy their time, but we're also funding trust building, healing circles. All over the state, people are doing this work where they're bringing law enforcement and the kids to the table, you know, teenagers, to just help to build that trust and law enforcement and community folks. I mean, again, the conference focused on the success stories and how to replicate some of them. What are the ways in which government can help to fund and, you know, and scale, you know, the solutions that are working?
Well, before we move on and talk about how the state can maybe expand some of those success stories, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Rosanna Rosato, the Commissioner for the Division of Criminal Justice Services, which recently hosted a Youth Justice System Conference on Elevating Equity and Fostering Healing. So, based on the 2-day conference, were there any localized or pilot programs that you think the state could potentially have a hand in expanding the reach of?
So there were programs that really focused on what kids are doing, you know, after school, and also programs that are focused on different paths to either self-sufficiency, right? That are different than, you know, than college track. Well, not every kid is on a college track. You know, we had a youth panel that was coordinated by the Community Initiatives of New York, and people were really blown away by it. People love the young people and their authenticity and their call to action, which kind of puts the young people's voices at the center of the work and says, here's what we need, here's what we're looking for. We need adults to hear us, and we need adults to help us figure this out. I mean, you think about the age group, you know, when you're talking about 15 to 19 year olds, they have no agency. They can't do anything without their parents' consent. They need working papers. You know, we have all these rules for them. And yet that is kind of the most tender age, right? Where they're trying to decide, you know, what kind of people they're going to be. And so we talked a lot about that group. Older people, you know, who are running programs also felt inspired to, you know, kind of use what they learned to apply for funds for different things. And so I just want to say also that we've only been able to do all this because of the support of the governor, who has given us, you know, the funding to not just, you know, fund just law enforcement, but to fund the community's ability to be resilient and to be preventive, that you can do both things, that you can deal with the crisis that was the shootings last year, you know, the level of shootings, which we were able to bring down, but that you can also look at the future and plan so that you get as many kids jobs this coming summer, you know, as you can, and you seek the funding for that, and you look at what's going to be important to do in the fall, again, to fill in whatever gaps are not covered by education.
You mentioned the issue of gun violence, and early in our conversation, you highlighted youth gun violence in particular. And there has been a case made by some in law enforcement, as well as the judiciary, that some of the 2017 changes to the age of criminal responsibility, specifically referred to as raise the age, may be contributing to some of the gun violence we've seen in recent years, in part because of what might be described as a bumpy rollout of the program. So, given the conference's focus on youth justice, what sort of discussion, if any, was there about the Raise the Age program?
Very few people who attend that conference are looking to undo Raise the Age. And Raise the Age, for all intents and purposes, has done what it was supposed to do. It keeps kids out of the adult criminal justice system. It dramatically changed how New York State's justice system handles cases that involve young people who are 16 and 17, providing them with age-appropriate services that they had never been able to access while still holding them accountable for serious and violent crimes. So people who attended this conference who work with young people were not trying to undo raise the age.
Yeah, I don't imagine people were talking about undoing it, but maybe ensuring that there was funding for the services you're highlighting, or that the facilities that are needed to house this population are available, or maybe even some clarity to the law governing, say, the extraordinary cases that might bump something from the family court system into the criminal court system.
It's important to remember that, like, we were the second to last state in the country to have raised our age of criminal responsibility. I think that the folks at the conference are more focused on the solutions to then how we deal with kids, whether they're in the system or not, and that we understand that this age group, really 15 to 19, in the case of raise the ages specifically 16 and 17 year olds, but what alternatives we have for them, alternatives to incarceration, alternatives to, being kind of in the system. How we rescue them, because we do believe, we know, again, through science and through research, empirical research, that they can be rescued, but they need a bunch of things. So does every community have the ability to do those things? In some parts of the state, if you're in New York City, you have a plethora of options, of services, and other places in the state, it's not that easy. So we want to make sure that all the kids in that age group have accessible programs that will help them find a new path. We also know that Black and Hispanic teenagers were and remain overrepresented in detention and placement facilities, and that's part of the thing that Raise the Age is supposed to help, and that's working.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Division of Criminal Justice Services Commissioner Rosanna Rosato. Commissioner, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.